Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Today in the Southern Cross, I am speaking to AUT Pacific Media Centre's director, Professor David Robbie, and reporter Rahul Bhattarai. We talk about the centre's news stories and issues being covered on the Asia Pacific Report. Topics include Bernie Smith's lecture on housing, which was delivered in an annual Bruce Jessen lecture last week, former president of French Polynesia, Oscar Manutahi Te Maru, supports the Maui independence movement in an upcoming referendum in New Caledonia, and Professor Robbie's account on the evolution of media in the Pacific since the 60s. So let's start off with you, Rahul. Bernie Smith was a guest speaker at this year's annual Bruce Jessen lecture, which was held in the University of Auckland on Tuesday. In his lecture, he said that we need to stop pulling rabbits out of hats and looking for quick fixes. So first of all, could you explain what is Bruce Jessen's lecture all about?
Okay, now, Bruce Jessen lecture is an annual event that honors the late Bruce Jessen, who was a prominent journalist and a political thinker. So this lecture, every year, some prominent figures like Nikki Haggar or David Lange, they come and they deliver a speech in regards to social issue and what they think is important at that time.
Mm.
So in this year's lecture, it was Bernie Smith who delivered the lecture in regards to the housing issues in New Zealand.
What does he mean when he said needing to stop pulling rabbits out of hats?
All right, now, so based on the lecture that he gave, he thinks that the housing issue that we have right now cannot be resolved overnight with a quick fix action like a Kiwi Bill and so forth.
Mm.
Because as per him, the Kiwi Bill houses are already expensive, and that sort of helps the higher upper middle class families only, and that does not help many people who do not have a home.
Okay, yeah.
And so when he says that we should stop pulling rabbits out of the hats, it's like there is no magic trick or no shortcuts for this issue.
Mm.
We have to have a long-term plan, and the plan that does not cycle every 3 years during an election period. So all the people, member of parliament, government, they need to come to the table, sign a long-term plan that would resolve this issue. With the short term plans, every time the government changes, the new government is going to come up with their own plan,
yeah,
and that is not going to help anyone.
No.
So that's what he meant by there.
Cool. So moving on, Oscar Manutahi Te Maru, the former president of French Polynesia and a longtime leader of the Maui independence movement, has urged voters to vote yes in the upcoming referendum in New Caledonia. What is the referendum for?
The referendum is for the self-determination of the Kanak people.
Mm.
At the moment, New Caledonia is under the French government.
Yeah.
What the people in New Caledonia wants to do is they want to be an independent state.
Mm.
So that is why they are having a referendum in, I think, 4th of November.
Mm.
To determine whether they are going to be an independent state or still under the French.
Could you give us a brief history about the Kanak people?
Yes, absolutely. Now, Kanak are the indigenous Melanesian people of New Caledonia.
Mm.
They make up about 39.1% of the total population, or about 104,000 people.
Mm.
And the absolute origin of the Kanak people aren't very clear, but the term itself comes from Hawaii.
Yes.
That was used by Europeans during their travels.
So what will happen if they lose the referendum?
Well, if they lose the referendum, they still have two other chances in 2020 and 2023.
Mm.
So that's when they will decide. If they win the referendum, there will be an independent state, and the French government has said that they would honor the referendum's result. If they lose now, they will have another chance in 2020 and 2023.
What happens if they lose those chances again over those times? Well, do you know?
I'm not too sure, but as per the referendum, they will not get it, but who knows?
Yeah. Could always change.
Yeah.
So now, David, recently you were the keynote speaker at the University of the South Pacific's Journalism Awards in Fiji. In that award ceremony, you covered wide ranges of topics, including the effects of early internet in journalism during the late 60s, your struggles in South Africa as a journalist in the 70s, and the ongoing struggles of journalists then and now. Could you tell us how the media has changed since you first started reporting in the mid-60s in the Pacific?
Well, basically, I actually started reporting on the Pacific, working for the French news agency, mm-hmm. Agence France-Presse in Paris, based in Paris, since I was looking at French policy quite across the Pacific. Mm. But the University of South Pacific program is actually quite unique in many respects because it's a regional university, so 16 countries actually have a stake in it.
Mm.
So the students come from all over, you know, all the countries right throughout the region. But their program actually began in 1987 when the first coups happened.
Mm.
So they started the journalism program under the threat of military regime, etc.
My goodness.
And then, of course, they got quite a history in 2000, the year 2000, when George Speight staged his coup, when the newspaper Once a War was under threat from George Speight's followers, and the university actually shut down the internet on the university because they were worried about their journalism newspaper. And that Speight's supporters would come in to the nearby university and trash parts of the university. So that's why
goodness.
They shut down the internet and that sort of thing. So it's been quite a proud program over the years. But I mean, I guess my role has actually been as a journalist from years on.
Mm.
I was very involved in setting up the internet sides of the newspaper, which was called Pacific Journalism Online and so on, and won quite a lot of awards. So it's got a long history.
Yeah, it's a long series of quite sort of activism. So journalists where that really matters, or people are. I suppose issues are,
Well, it's quite risky being a journalist in the Pacific, much more so than here. It's a very safe environment here.
Yeah.
But there, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Any threat could come from anywhere. Why have the USP Journalism Awards been running for 18 years when there are so many threats against journalists in Fiji and the Pacific?
Well, I think that's one of the things, is that, it's been recognition. There's been a lot of different organisations. There's been the French Embassy that's funded the program for a number of years. Also other organisations, NGOs around the Pacific and media industry organisations have sponsored the awards. And at the moment, it's the only awards running in Fiji. So it's a recognition.
Wow.
Because many of their graduates then become key journalists all around the Pacific.
Yeah.
So it's been, sort of a token of respect and support.
Completely. And in this harsh environment, as you said, it's the constantly fears of sort of attack, I suppose. How do you pronounce that? Wensawara?
Wensawara, yes.
Wensawara.
Literally, it means one ocean.
Yeah.
So we're all together.
Oh,
we all
lovely. And it's still the longest running journalism newspaper in Australia, New Zealand and the Pacific. How have they survived?
Well, actually, they're running on a pretty good financial model. They actually sell their own advertising. They're like, I don't know of any...
So is it a paper newspaper?
Yeah. Well, it's both. It's got, an online edition as well.
Mm.
But, right from the beginning, it was set a very high standard of colour reproduction when they first began the newspaper.
Mm.
But also, it's now, these days, it's printed out of one of the daily newspapers, the Fiji Sun. It's a lift-out when it comes out. And so 20,000 people get
to
read
it.
I don't know of any other journalism paper in Australia or New Zealand that have anything like that sort of reach.
No.
But the students themselves, they've got a whole team. So it's not only the journalists, but the journalism students also form their advertising team, and they go out and they sell advertising because they don't actually get funded by the university.
No.
All the money comes in from the ads that they sell and so on.
Oh, well, that's great. It's nice that they're sort of drawing in everybody, people that are wanting to be journalists or are learning about journalism as well into the whole process. Oh, really nice. So that's us. Thank you.
That was the Southern Cross.